ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, I'm Alicia Simmons.
And I'm Lee Boucher.
As historians, we've spent years digging into the lives of people who've changed history, for better or for worse.
So naturally, we are extremely qualified to gossip about them.
And because they're dead, they can't sue.
In our podcast, we sift through Australia's most notable and notorious characters, giving you our unfiltered takes.
Find it by searching for The Dead Can't Sue on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you say the words affordable housing, there's a natural scepticism. But across the country, developers are signing up to schemes that are supposed to give people a chance to rent without being left with barely anything in their pay packets. Today, Pat McGrath on his Four Corners investigation into who's really benefiting. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. In the ritzy Sydney suburb of Potts Point, one of Australia's richest men, James Packer, is a major investor in the redevelopment of an apartment block. And wow, if it's approved and then completed, it's going to have some really nice and expensive dwellings inside, isn't it?
Yes, James Packer has at least three of these projects in the pipeline, so he's really getting into real estate investment in a big way. Mm. This particular one in Potts Point is with a developer partner called Time and Place, and James Packer is the major investor there. And this is one of the most expensive pockets of Sydney. It's got harbour views, penthouse apartments in this area. They're going for millions of dollars. So it does promise to be extremely lucrative.
Yeah, nice if you can afford it. But as part of this development, Pat, down the bottom of this apartment block, there'll also be some, well, not so luxurious, so-called affordable housing.
Yeah, so this development is being proposed through these affordable housing rules. And this means that developers in New South Wales under this particular scheme, they can build a lot higher and with a lot more density than they would otherwise under local planning rules, if they have 10% of the floor space of the building is affordable rental housing for at least 15 years. Now, those affordable homes, they're on the lower floors. There's going to be a separate entrance to the main building. And this is what's sometimes called a poor door. Now, it's worth saying that with other projects that we've looked at, you know, developers have defended this separation of the affordable housing from the main building. They say, you know, the affordable units then don't have to pay the big body corporate fees. But obviously, when people look at this so-called poor door, it is a very controversial design element.
Yeah, sure is. That's a bit rough, isn't it? So this is, though, part of this affordable housing project that the Albanese government came up with to have 20,000 so-called affordable rental homes by 2029.
Yeah, well, this is all about the topic that's on everyone's mind at the moment, and that's housing affordability. And, you know, public housing levels have dropped to historical lows. And so affordable housing is this kind of this middle path that's for middle income earners and lower income earners, essential workers and so on. So it's a new type of housing or a newer type of housing, and it's being delivered by developers, you know, community housing providers, public money as well, but also big investors.
All right, so these developers, they are given incentives to build affordable housing. And as part of this project in Potts Point, in return, they can then increase the height of the building. But Pat, there will be fewer homes as a result.
That's right. We've had a planning expert look at this development, and they estimate that it could add an additional $30 million or more of value to this development, having that extra height. And the cost of keeping those affordable units affordable for 15 years would cost about $2 million. So doing the sums there, it's clear there's a lot of money to be made.
Yeah, well, the New South Wales government points out that this is still in the approval phase. But what does time and place and James Packer tell you about this project?
Well, James Packer's company hasn't responded to questions and didn't respond to a request for an interview. Time and Place, his partner in this project, they've defended this and said that this development needs to go ahead because the building is in a state of disrepair. It's got concrete cancer and it's supplying 23 affordable homes in an area that really needs it. They also say on this poor door question that part of the reason they're doing this is to keep costs down for residents in that building, and they reject the criticism of what they're doing. And it is important to say that this project is well within the rules. This is exactly what the New South Wales government and other governments around the country are trying to do, trying to stimulate development, redevelopment of old properties, as long as they include affordable housing to lift the overall supply of affordable housing in the system.
Okay, so Pat, that's one example of a development that's using affordable housing rules. But before we move on, what does affordable even mean? How much rent would you have to pay for an apartment through the poor door, of course, in Potts Point?
Yeah, I mean, affordable housing seems like a pretty simple concept, right? But it is a lot more complicated than that. And there's a different definition wherever you look, even within different states. It is important to note that there are examples around the place, particularly in buildings that are completely owned by community housing providers, where rents are pegged to people's incomes. But most of the affordable housing that we can see that's in the market now, the rent is calculated at a discount to market rates. So usually, you know, it's a 20% discount. And so we've been looking at about 2 months worth of rental ads for affordable units, and we've found that a lot of them are really unaffordable for people. We've even found a two-bedroom apartment in Bondi Beach that's being advertised for $1,400 a week. In Victoria, basically none of the homes that we saw advertised were affordable for single people on low incomes and couples and very low incomes. Most of them would be pushing them above 30% of their income, which is, you know, the broadly accepted definition of rental stress. And I spoke to a real estate agent in Sydney, and he told me that he can basically set rents at a discount to the area. He doesn't have to use the official market rate, and there's nothing stopping him from pushing people into 30, 40 or even 50% of their income. At least in New South Wales, that there does seem to be some movement around changing the guidelines, but it does raise a broader question about how sustainable is this system that governments are now looking to supercharge around the country.
Pat, as part of your investigation, you also met a number of people living in this affordable housing. Now, tell me about Sarah Hutt. Her landlord was Mission Australia, which is a Christian charity.
Yeah, so this is a fascinating example because when Sarah moved in, it was just after Mission Australia had taken out a $68 million loan to buy this building. And when she moved in, they told her, the way we're going to calculate your rent, it's 30% of your income. And she was blown away.
It felt too good to be true, but there was these people that were saying it is, and you just pay 30% and here it is written down and that's all we're asking from you. And I just said, great, okay, this is amazing, and let's do it.
But in May, Mission Australia came back to Sarah and they told her that it was recalculating her rent. They told her that she'd have to start paying 75% of the market rate for her property, which they said was $660 a week.
So how much has your rent gone up by?
It's gone up by almost $100.
$100?
A week.
Can you afford that?
Not really. It's definitely going to put me in rent stress again.
What are you going to do?
I haven't really thought that far because it kind of freaks me out to think about it. And I think I'd probably have to look at other private rentals that are cheaper because this isn't affordable anymore.
It's supposed to be affordable. It's in the name, right?
I know. It's in the name. It's very ironic. It really, really frustrates me. People say, oh, it's not black and white, but like this is black and white. It's affordable housing.
Yeah, Yeah, so why did Mission Australia change the boundaries? What does it have to say about it?
So they've told us that they've switched everyone in that building from this income-based rental setting to a market-based setting because of the high cost of delivering that affordable housing and to make sure that the financial stability of that building continues into the future. And this is all happening within the rules.
Okay, so Sarah's affordable rent became not affordable for her. But in Victoria, you've even found examples where people who you think would qualify for the scheme don't, like Christopher Hewson.
So Christopher is a part-time university lecturer. He tops up his income driving Uber. I mean, he doesn't make a huge income. So last year, he applied for a one-bedroom unit being built by Assemble.
I don't earn an enormous amount of income, not by choice, but just by the fact that I do a variety of things. I have a variety of kind of side hustles.
You sound like the exact kind of person who should be eligible for an affordable rental.
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you? But not so. No.
And when you read the rejection email, basically Assemble is highlighting their strict rules around not pushing tenants into rental stress. Assemble's not telling us why they knocked Chris back, but they say that tenants shouldn't be spending more than 30% of their income to live in one of their properties.
Wow.
That means to qualify for a one-bedroom unit like the one that Chris went for, which was, you know, $397 a week, they've got these strict income rules there where basically someone to live in that unit to qualify can only earn between about $69,000 to $73,000 a year. People in the industry sometimes refer to this as Goldilocks tenants. There's only a very small number of people who would qualify to actually live in this building.
Yeah, so Chris, potentially he earned too little. But the thing is, you actually went to one of these Assemble developments called Swift Walk, and there were actually apartments that were empty.
That's right. I checked and there were still 18 affordable units being advertised for rent. And this is 7 months after the development finished. So I asked Chris Daff, the managing director of Assemble, about this idea of the Goldilocks tenant, that have they created a situation where there is this narrow band of eligibility?
You know, we're well over 80% leased in the affordable housing now. I think the model's working really well, and I'm confident over the next sort of 6 or 8 weeks we'll find tenants for those homes.
Does it concern you that you're going to be scaling up this model now and you've created a situation where there is this kind of Goldilocks tenant?
Yeah, so I don't think we're dealing with Goldilocks or unicorn tenants, you know, generally across all this housing that we've already leased out. To get the government subsidy turned on, we need to have someone who's eligible for the home living in the home. So, you know, ultimately, all of us, you know, want to get this housing filled up with people who are on the right incomes, you know, helping them in housing.
Pat, clearly the system is not flawless. So is there a better way? Now, you spoke to the former CEO of a really big developer, Mirvac. She had some ideas. That's Susan Lloyd-Hurwitz.
Yeah, so this is a remarkable intervention. This is probably one of the most powerful and credible voices in Australia's property industry, former CEO of Mirvac. She now chairs the federal government's National Supply and Affordability Council, and she says that affordable housing should be permanent.
I think we should have it in perpetuity. I think if you're going to have affordable housing, it should stay affordable, because if you have a system where you're building affordable stock and then you're taking it away, you're chasing your tail the whole time, trying to increase permanently the stock that we need for our most vulnerable members of society.
She's also raised this question of pegging affordable rents to market rates. She says that that's not really genuinely affordable, because if you're doing this in an area where the market is unaffordable, pegging affordable rates to that market is going to create the same problems.
If you live in Sydney, something that's 25% below market rent isn't affordable to very many people at all. So in the true English sense of the word, plain language, that's not affordability.
She's saying there needs to be a debate about governments going further than they are, not just subsidising developers and community housing providers to build affordable housing, but actually finding a way for the government to have more involvement. And she's really calling for a debate around that.
Yeah. But after everything you've learned investigating this issue for Four Corners, what do you think, Pat? What do governments really need to be doing across the country to make sure that people can get affordable housing and a roof over their head at a decent price?
Well, the question now is, we've gone pretty far down this path and developers have shown a lot of enthusiasm for it. Any change is going to face some pushback. But the question is really whether developers and private entities and the community housing providers they're working with, whether they're going to be able to deliver this target of affordable housing. And for people living in this affordable housing and people who will be living in this affordable housing in the future, if we're supercharging this model where rents in most cases, as we've seen, are pegged to market rates, whether it will actually solve the problem, whether this actually will be affordable to the people who need this kind of housing the most.
McGrath is a reporter with Four Corners. Watch his report on ABC TV tonight at 8:30 or on iView. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.